And tonight we don't want to be weighed down or bogged down by any regrets. And we're really excited for what the Lord has for us tonight and the things that are going to be sown tonight in prayer and the faith that's going to grow in us as we plant these seeds tonight. So let's just spend some time just in a quiet moment. And let's just invite God to meet us here tonight. We have a really simple program for you guys tonight. We're just going to worship. In the absence of Pastor Sam, our lead pastor, Pastor Nate and I, we have a kind of a 1-2 punch of a sharing of the word. And we're just going to come before the Lord, closing this year in worship and thanksgiving. And we're going to usher in the new year on our knees, literally, praying, submitting, and offering. And it's going to be a fantastic time. And we're so excited that each one of you is here tonight to be a part of this family. So just spend some time, a quiet moment in prayer. And in a little bit, our sister Sam will open us up with the songs of worship. Come before you tonight, and we're so excited. And Lord, we just come before you and we humble ourselves, God, to meet with you. God, every time we come into your presence, it's something new. It's a beginning. It's another thing that you're creating and speaking in us. So Father, we're just excited, Lord, to be here tonight in your presence with our brothers and sisters, Lord. You know, there's so many different ways that we could be celebrating tonight. You know, a lot of fun things. God, but no better way than to be in your presence, and to be with those that we're going to be celebrating in eternity with one day. So, Father, our eyes, our hearts, Lord, we check our attitudes, our premonitions, our weaknesses, our sins. Lord, we check these things down before you. And God, we give you full access tonight. God, just work on our hearts. Lord, we want to give you full access to every corner, to every grip, to every place in our lives. God, that you would shine the light of Christ, your mercies, your grace, your kindness, your favor, your healing, your passion, your excitement. God, shine these things in our lives tonight. And God, we are thankful. We are so thankful. God, you are a good God, worthy of our praises. We thank you, Father. Bless this time, Lord. Come and take center stage, Lord. We're here to celebrate you. We're here to meet with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't we all rise?
Planted. 2009 has been, perhaps there's been lots of ups and downs. Perhaps the Lord has given, but perhaps the Lord has also taken away. And I just want you to encourage you to take this time to come and just lay down everything. As we end 2009 and going to 2010, that, yeah, we come with a heart that is to bless His name, that as no matter what happens, God is good all the time, and all the time He is good.
Every blessing you pour out.
the Lord, the things that you're so thankful for. Just pour your heart before Him. It doesn't matter what people are doing around you. You just sing to Him and you can cry unto Him. Just pour out your heart before Him.
Thank you.
Father, we're just so thankful, Lord. God, so thankful for who you are, God, and all that you do, God. God, that you are Father, that you are the one who holds us in the palm of your hands. Jesus, you're the lover of our soul, God, that you never ever let us go. And Holy Spirit, you are ever-present help in time of need. So God, we're just so thankful for who you are, God. Lord, yeah, because there's no God like you. And so God, we just come and give you our hearts of thanksgiving and praise. Yeah, we thank you for being with us in the past year. And God, we just lift up our time to you. Come and have your way, Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated.
I'm going to ask her to keep playing, but let's just have a seat. And I, as we were worshiping, I just felt such an awesome presence. It didn't take us long. And as we were worshiping, I sense that God's dwelling is in each of us as we humbly come before Him. And so just before we invite Pastor Nate up to give us an encouraging word, just with your eyes bowed, you know, I really sense that you have a blessing and a touch to bestow on another. So just kind of reach out your right hand, your left hand, and just touch the person next to you, you know, on the shoulder or on the knee or whatever. And just pray a prayer of blessing. And let God's blessing just cover that person. Right? God dwells in each of us. I feel like 30 minutes is not enough time for us to pray tonight, to be quite honest. And I haven't been in these situations a lot, but I know when you just kind of need to get out of the way. I'm just going to share a few brief words, and then we're just going to really get on our knees and spend some time before the Lord. But I couldn't escape this word. You know, as we were worshiping and as we were praising, and this phrase just kept coming in, and And it speaks to me, and it speaks to all of us. And the word is that God's not finished yet. And I mean, you know, wherever you are right now, you know, as you reflect, you know, and definitely there are the high points, and then definitely there are the low points. And wherever you are today, the word is that God is not finished yet. When you consider, you know, Peter, right? Just picture this. You know, after 3 years of ministry, after walking with Jesus and all the promises and all the prophecies and all the things spoken into him, you know, here he is, you know, back on the beach fishing again. And, you know, talk about regrets, right? Talk about not being able to stand up for Jesus the way you denied him 3 times. And the Lord wasn't finished with him yet, right? The Lord was going to came back and restored him. You know, a couple testimonies just this past week, you know, a sister, you know, struggling, striving, coming before the Lord, you know, wondering and wandering, you know, where is my place? And very much wanting very much to be here in Hong Kong and to continue on with the fellowship. And, you know, in the midst of all this, God provides and prevails and brings forward the things that he'd promised. And God's not finished yet. You know, you get to a place where, you know, this is not where I wanted to be, or this is not the kind of person I thought I'd be. And God's not finished yet. We just came back from a mission trip last night from Fujian. And, you know, a couple things. You know, I've visited many orphanages. I have various ministries going on with orphanages outside of Solomon's Porch. And for the first time, I actually left this place, Fujian, and there are actually 2 kids that I wanted to bring home with me. And you're like, you know, what kind of person are you? You work with orphans and it's only the first time, right? But these kids, they, you know, I visited many places, and normally they don't give you a lot of access to the kids. But this place is an anointed place, and we're able to touch and laugh and, you know, activities and lessons, and particularly... one boy, and I always thought if I adopted, I would probably adopt a young little baby, you know, a boy or a girl, doesn't matter, you know, because they're so cute and, you know, easier to raise up. But this boy was probably maybe 12 or 13 years old, and I have never seen such kindness, you know, let alone an orphan, you know, a person, you know, who have no loving parents. And, you know, like, you know, something as simple as, you know, every time I would eat, you know, there were 150 people, so maybe 10 tables or whatnot. For every meal that I had joined his table, I liked his table because there was a main quarter where everyone ate. And, you know, a lot of the people, I would assume, when the visitors come, would always sit there. But then there was this one table just outside that it just seemed like not a lot of people would come sit. So I sat there. And this guy was so generous. Every time the meal would begin, well, actually, all the boys were generous. They wouldn't eat the meat dish, right? Because they had a guest. So I was actually quite pleased. they had a you know, like a rice dish, a meat dish, and then several vegetable dishes. But you can kind of eye. You would see like a couple of them wanted to go after it, but then this one guy would always say kind of hold them off until I would kind of take the first one, and then they'd all kind of dig in. But just the heart that I saw in this kid, and you know, a couple other kids or whatnot. And, you know, we're there for a short period of time, and we're ministering to them, we're praying for them, we're just giving them, you know, good memories, right, to grow up with. And it's hard not to leave that place, you know, wondering, like, well, you know, how much of an impact do we really have, right? It's hard not to leave that place thinking, well, when they turn 16 or 17 or 18, really, what is there to offer for them? You know, other than maybe some low-paying service jobs or whatnot, you know, what sort of life do they have to look forward to? And so as we were worshiping and as we were singing, you know, the idea that, man, God is not finished yet. And for every single one of those orphans, you know, wherever they are now or you know, things to come, that God is not finished yet. And that it would take just, you know, a handful of seeds, right? A handful of, you know, short-term, you know, SP missionaries, right, for 3-4 days to go and to sow in love. I consider, you know, a sister who left Hong Kong, you know, took a very big chunk of a pay cut, you know, to go to a place that she felt God is calling her to. And then to be in that place and then to kind of feel like, well, did I make the right decision? You know, is this really what God wants? And why aren't things coming into play? Why aren't I meeting the people that or the things that I want to do? And again, the message is that God's not finished and God's going to do an amazing work in our hearts. Amen? So let's bow our heads. And I want to just lead us in some prayer topics tonight. And towards the end, when we get closer to the new year, we're going to give you guys a time to come and make some prayer cards. Literally, we're going to plant some seeds tonight of faith. I want you to just spend some time in reflection. You know, what are the areas that we've kind of given up on? In particular, the areas of defeat. In particular, you know, the places you hate, the things you despise, the things you would rather not put another second or two of thoughts towards. And I invite you to open those things up. And don't hide from God, because you can't hide anyways. And bring them forward. Bring them into the light. And receive this encouraging word that God is not finished yet. So spend a few moments in meditation. And some of you might have to dig. But I'm going to give you a lot of time, so dig. And I've been working on a missions manual for Solomon's Porch. And there's a difference between a short-term missions trip and an outreach. You know, an outreach, you know, you just kind of, you know, set a time, set an event. People kind of wander in on their own well-being. You come together and you do an event for a few hours. But a mission trip is quite different. It's actually quite intense. And a couple of key components to it. One is missions training. And a part of that is the team dynamics, right? In John 13, 34, 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you're my disciples. You know, in outreach, you can just kind of come. You know, it's easy to get together in a gathering like this, 3 hours, oh yeah, sure, you go first. Here, you know, you know, let me help you with that. But it's a little bit harder when you have to spend 4 or 5 days in confined spaces. And so one of the key components of missions training is that as a team that you gel and bond. And one component of that is being able to commit to time. For example, you know, if we set a meeting time at, you know, 9 a.m. or 8 a.m., sure, it's tough for some people to meet, but we've made a commitment not just to the missions trip, but to each other. And that actually, when we're not keeping time commitments, it's actually, you know, kind of a dishonoring to your team members. And so that's just one aspect. And so during a missions, you know, trip, you know, for example, we train here, we do what we do now, and we prepare so that when we're there, it's not a hindrance. So that when you're actually out, say, like for in Fujian or in the Philippines, like recently, you're not just, you know, setting a time at 10 a.m., we got to meet the kids and take them somewhere, and people aren't showing up at 10:15, 10:20, like as if they're at home. And so that's one component. Another component would be, you know, preparing the activities and lessons or whatnot in advance. And that's so that you get work through all the kinks and all the faults here and now, so that when you're actually on the mission field, you're not working through the kinks or faults when you're trying to present or serve. And so as I was meditating on this, you know, we get so spiritually intense when we prepare for a missions trip, right? It's like an intense bubble or pocket of time. But what I want you to consider is that our life here now is like a short-term mission trip, right? We sometimes reserve our you know, our most faithfulness or devotion for these times. But consider that your life here now is a short-term mission. Consider what that means to our missions team here now. Consider what it means when we honor one another. You know, we keep time commitments. We put one another's preferences before the other. You know, the Bible will say, you know, momentary light afflictions. This life is just temporary. It's just a momentary experience. You know, it's passing like a vapor. And this isn't just a suggestion. It's not like, yeah, you guys think like this. I'll go as far as to say that if you can't grasp the idea that what we're doing now is temporary, then we're going to have a very difficult time struggling in God's hands. That if we put so much weight and value, almost like this life is an eternity in some sense, just the idea that we can't grasp the end or whatnot, we're going to have a really difficult time. So let me lead in this prayer, if we could just bow our heads. And make this our prayer, God, that we would commit to you. God, that we would commit to your mission. God, that we would commit to one another. That we would put preferences of ours below the preferences of others. That we would be a cloud of witness, a body, a living testimony. Okay, let's pray that prayer as a church. Thank you, Lord. You guys are okay with minor mistakes, right? Because I don't have enough prayer topics to go to 12. So I'm going to share a little word, okay? All right, we shift and move. Amen. It's a good way to open. I have a couple simple points tonight. And it's going to lead into our prayer dedication. And that's going to be the time where we, as we do every year here at Solomon's Porch, we kind of go into prayer requests that we kind of plant into 2010. Before we get into that, my word for you guys is that God is going to plant some seeds in your life tonight. And that's going to require some dying, right? In order for God to plant some seeds, you know, the picture I gave before is, you know, a seed falling to the ground, literally being sown into the ground and dying so that, you know, produce, so that life can come up, come out of it. So it's going to require some dying tonight. I was sharing about how we went out as a short-term mission trip. But if you think about it as the model of Christ, you know, I actually came home and I told my wife, Annie, it's like, man, for the first time, I actually really wanted to adopt. And so we started talking and trying to figure out, well, how are we going to do this? And I said, well, you know, just kind of brainstorming. And sometimes my brainstorming comes short. But I said, yeah, you know, let's you know, these two kids were not. Let's get a place in Yunlong, right, a little bit farther out. Get like a two-story house, four or five rooms, like 5,000 square feet. You know, I can pay the same rent. And my wife said, if we adopt kids, we're not living in Hong Kong. And so second option was, okay, maybe we'll go to Beijing. So those were some things we were talking about. But if you think about it, you go into a situation and there's a need or there's a place where God needs to do work. And it's not so much that you go in and you pull out. What I mean is, like, we went to Fujian, and it's not so much that we go there and we take them out of a bad situation, but the biblical model would be that we would go there and literally sow ourselves. Do you see the contrast? Right? I'm not judging between one or the other. Obviously, anyone who wants to adopt, you know, it's a great deed. But there's a difference between, you know, us wanting to adopt and taking a child or two out of a bad situation, fostering them and nurturing them. There's a difference between that and when you go out into the field, into the need, and literally sow yourself in. That would be the example of the Basarabas, right, who recently left Hong Kong and went out to China. And literally their family, you know, wife, children, you know, a beautiful picture of literally their lives being sown into that community, to those people. And imagine the transformation, the impact that it's making and will make on the people there. Imagine, a handful of people, God calling and actually moving to Fuzhou, Fujian, and literally saying, hey, I'm going to die to myself, and being sown into that community for 20, 30, 40 years or whatnot. And imagine, you know, if it were a dark and desolate kind of a soil or barren land, imagine the produce and the outcome of what would come when people, when God's people lie down and die to themselves. And ultimately, that is what Christ did. Right, he came and he sowed himself. Even in the scriptures, it says that he had to leave so that what? So that the Holy Spirit could come. So he could have remained. He could have, you know, in his, you know, new bodily form, whatnot, have remained with them. But he left so that the counselor could come, and it made an impact on 12 men that changed the course of humanity forever. And all this in the sowing and dying. And the reason why God is going to plant some seeds in our hearts tonight as we prepare and as we prepare pray into the new year is because God wants to birth something new in you. So as God kind of, as we kind of plant these seeds of faith and prayer, you know, and part of that involves a part of dying of ourselves, right? There's some things that some of us are going to be dying to tonight. There's some things that some of us, as we sow, we're going to be letting go. And the reason why we're sowing and the reason why we're dying is because God wants to birth something new in you tonight. Birth something new in you going into the new year. And that requires a little bit of dying. that requires a little bit of suffering. There was a devotional today. Pastor Nate, you don't mind that I kind of... Yeah, he's actually quite happy. Ken had given a devotional today about endurance, running the race, and Ken had given this devotional this morning, and Pastor Nate actually prepared the same exact passage that he was going to share tonight, the same verses, running the race, endurance. And the word that the Bible uses that Ken had shared this morning was egano, which means endurance, which literally means agony. And we were talking about this on, you know, one of the late nights that we were doing our mission trip, and it's one of the perks of a mission trip is you really bond and gel as a team. And one of our sisters was talking about how when she runs, you're supposed to get this runner's high, right? Are you guys familiar with that? Right? You kind of run, and then you get to this burn, and then it gets really difficult, and you feel like giving up, but then there's that second win you're waiting for, right? How many of you guys are actually runners here? I know quite a few, right? Okay. Well, I never get to that second burn. I actually don't get to the first burn because I hate running. I don't run unless I'm being chased. So she's asking, like, how do you get to that, you know, how do you get past that burn? How do you get to that second wind? And another runner on our team was saying, well, actually, the burn is always there. And the burning is part of the process. It's part of the endurance. And according to the word, it's there's agony involved in the long run. And so God is going to birth something new, and we're going to kind of plant those seeds in faith tonight. Amen? Yeah? Turn with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43. You guys are so gracious. I love speaking to you guys. Don't worry, Pastor Nate, I won't call you up last minute. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15 to 19, and let me read. You can follow along. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hands. And this is the word I really wanted to encourage you guys with tonight. Isaiah 43, 15 to 19. I am the Lord, your Holy One, Israel's Creator, your King. This is what the Lord says, He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Amen. Tonight I really feel like as we plant these seeds and as we do a little bit of dying, and to be honest, I already know, in my mind, I already know some of the things that I don't want to give up, that I know that in place, God's going to spring up, life and blessings. And as we're worshiping, I think sometimes we get so hung up, and the difficulty is, well, I won't have this. If I give this up, I won't have this. And I won't be able to enjoy it, and it'll be a lack thereof. But I think a better way to look at it is God is going to bring something new. And that's actually quite exciting, right? Giving up may not always be exciting. And imagining life without this or without that, can be kind of, difficult. But as I was worshiping, it brought me joy to consider the newness of what Christ would bring in place of what I would let go. And so I really just challenge you guys with that tonight because, it's going to be between you and God. I'm not going to be over your shoulder. It's between you and God and what you release and what you commit that God will bring an anointing or blessing over that will carry you into and cover you into 2010. But there's going to be some struggling. There's going to be some warfare. There's going to be some, doubts and thoughts or whatnot. And so I just really charge and challenge, man, let's make that commitment together, individually and corporately as a body. Amen? Okay, so we're going to give God an opportunity to regenerate, to revive, to rebirth something in us. So I actually have a will and a handful of people. We're going to pass around some note cards. And this should take you a good 20 minutes as you pray and meditate and prepare. And what we're going to do is we're going to pass out these notepads. And as you're planting seeds of faith, this is what it is we're asking God to accomplish things in us in 2010 that we cannot do outside of Him. So we're not asking for things that we can do. We're not asking for things that, yeah, I'm capable of, you know, just give me a little bit of time. We're asking, these aren't, New Year's resolutions or just goals. We're inviting God. We're planting seeds of faith. We're planting prayers and inviting God to do a work in our life that is utterly impossible without Him. And so some of us might be like, well, what's that like? Man, you should be getting really excited right now. You should be able to write down at least 10 things. You know, a salvation of a loved one, healing of a sickness. I'll share with you guys just a few that I had from the past several years, the ones that were accomplished. Okay, these were some amazing accomplishments that without the power of God, definitely could not have happened. One of them was, I wrote down in 2008, I will seek God and fast 21 days. Nearly impossible, man, for me. Right, I have a real difficult time with fasting. Actually, my first 2 years of fasting at SP, I wasn't very good. The third year, I really wanted to complete a really good fast. And last year I did, and that was amazing. Another one was that Annie had some cervical complications, some abnormal cell growth. And so we prayed over that, and there was complete healing, taken care of. Another one was my back. A couple other ones that haven't been completed yet, were to provide homes for 50 orphans in 2009. And I think we, through friends of mine, we helped bring together maybe 15 or 16 orphans in Beijing into families. So things like that. So, literally, heaven's the limit, you could say. So spend some time and make a list going into 2010, things that only God can accomplish in you. Okay, so we'll have the worship team come up. And just spend the next 20 minutes just meditating, writing. And I know, because for myself as well, that there are some things that some of us may be reluctant or maybe we haven't really opened up the vaults. And if you haven't done that already, just come before the Lord and open things up. So we'll give this time to you for the next 20 minutes. And then we're going to go into prayer into the new year. Amen? Okay. Thank you. give you guys more time to keep praying and keep writing. For those of you that are kind of finished, you know, as we started off the service today, you know, I really felt God's presence and community with us, and that we really did have something to offer. And you know, it wasn't just for fun that we just extended our hands over to pray and bless. And so, you know, if you've done finished writing your prayers for 2010, I want to open up the mic, because I really do believe some of you have a word of encouragement, either a verse, a testimony, or a sharing. And the next 10 minutes, or the next couple minutes, kind of chew on that for a little bit, and I'll kind of open it up for a handful of people. Okay, we're not preaching messages here. So if you just have a word to encourage and bless the body, I really believe some of you have that for us tonight. Okay, so in a couple minutes, as we're finishing up, make your way up and just bless the church, bless the body. Amen.
Hi. As we were worshiping today, actually, I was downloading very similar things with Pastor Sam Kim, so I'm very excited to be able to share, and I promise it's not a message, but there are two Bible verses that came to mind. The first is in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ has not been raised, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless, you are still in your sins. And I think that word about dying is very fitting to that, because I think even this past year has been a very difficult year for many people. Like, we are familiar with dying, and yet God continues to ask us to die to things again and again. And you have to remember that, you know, because Christ died and rose again, there is resurrection, and that's the difference between dying when you're a Christian and dying when you're not a Christian. And, you know, just to put things into perspective, like, if there hadn't been resurrection, like, in David's life, like, we would never hear about King David. If God hadn't intervened in Hannah's life, like, we would never hear about Hannah in the Bible stories. If God had never intervened and brought Joseph out of prison, we would never hear about Joseph in the Bible. It would just be one forgotten person. And so I think that word of encouragement is, yes, there's dying, but there's also resurrection, because God, you know, Jesus died and rose again for our sins. And because of that, we have resurrection in him. So the second verse that I have, I wanted to share, was in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal, and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay. And I think after that dying, you know, you're like, God, we're waiting. And yet he says, like, it won't delay. Though it tarries, though it though there is like a waiting period, when it comes, it's going to come very quickly. So I just really wanted to just piggyback off what Pastor Sam Kim had been sharing. This is just my own personal word for myself and whoever else wants to share in it. But I feel like next year, I keep getting this picture in my mind of being in this really old, dusty attic, and it's dark and it's dusty, and you know, there's a person going in, that would be me, and for other people that would be you, going in, and you're like exploring the attic and like blowing away on old parcels that have not been opened. And I feel like those old parcels are dead or forgotten dreams. And I feel like as Pastor Sam Kim was saying, you know, God's planting something in you tonight. And like those dreams that you had such a long time ago, those desires that you had such a long time ago, but you had to die to them and they never came to pass. I feel like God is, you know, going to be, you know, like resurrecting those old and forgotten dreams. And I think all that time of dying this past year and the last couple of years, and even now, I think that's because God needed to put in like integrity and character, because had he given that dream to you at the time when you first wanted it, you wouldn't have been able to carry it. Like integrity, the dictionary definition is, do you have the structure to withhold and withstand? And if God had given you that dream, I think you would have probably been, you know, shattered, or it would have ruined you. And so in that dying, like God is also preparing you for the dreams that he placed in your heart. So thanks for letting me share.
Is it working? Okay. I want to, it's just a little bitty testimony really, really fast. This past year for me was a most epic year. It sort of started off badly and then got worse as my spiritual mentor and my aunt was suffering from a lot of diseases that killed her in the summer. But I was actually blessed enough to be with her when she went to the Lord, so that was awesome. But from that moment into November, about mid-November, I was grappling with a lot of spiritual warfare, and actually thank God for bringing me this church, because I'd never really understood that terminology, warfare, before a meeting with the IP team. I never understood what that meant or even what that was until they gave me that word. I'm a scrappy little thing, so I'm a fighter. So I've been fighting this enemy with everything that I had, and toward the end of this year, it was just getting so overwhelming that I could barely breathe. And I had a fantastic house church family that was very supportive, and with their prayers and their love, and with the different people who came to SP for preaching and different sermons that P. Sam gave. And that really carried me through that hard stuff. And then there was a moment of awakening in my spirit. And, you know, when you, if you listen to her playing, and she's playing the white keys, and those are the happy moments, but then there are the black keys, and those are the crappy moments. But if you play just one, if you just play the white keys, it doesn't sound any good. If you just play the sharp keys, it doesn't sound any good. You have to have the sharp keys and the major keys together to play a good song. And so that's sort of what the past several months have been for me. It's been like crazy roller coaster, but I'm getting to the point. So I ramble, I apologize. So anyway, in the beginning of this month, December, I have no concept of time right now. Apologize for that. December, yeah. I had had my valley, my mountaintop, and after a mountaintop, there's only one place you can go, the valley. So I sort of was like on the mountain for like 3 days, and then I was right back in the valley. It was like, shkoom. I just fell off the cliff. As far as warfare goes, and it just, but I knew what it was, right? I knew the name of it, so it wasn't as bad. But it was so frustrating. It was so frustrating because I knew that this was Satan, and he was talking to me, and he was trying to tell me all these really horrible things that I know aren't true about me. And he was saying, you know, you can't do it because you're just a, I can't say that word at church. But, anyway, he was just beating me up. And it was so frustrating. It was so frustrating because I couldn't make it stop. I couldn't make the voice stop. And it got louder and it got harder. And I kept fighting and praying and crying and trying to make it stop. And I just could not make it stop. And I never in my life have I ever been so frustrated that I was crying. But on this particular day, I was so frustrated. I could not make that voice stop that I just, tears just streaming. And I couldn't do it anymore by myself and in my own prayers. So with one of my sisters from house church, I said, I have got to tell you something. I've got to tell you how much these last 3 days have really sucked because the enemy is won't shut up. And all I want him to do is just shut up because he's driving me crazy. And I know it's not true. And I don't believe what he's saying, but he just won't shut up. And it's driving me insane. And we talked about it. Oh, I just to share really quickly. My right kidney acts crazy sometimes. And for a while, we've been praying for healing of that. On this particular day, the pain before the most agonizing thing you can imagine was happening in my kidney. And Satan was like, ah, ha, 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 see? He didn't give you a second chance. See, he doesn't love you, or he would have healed you of that pain. And I was just like, shut up. This is not an ultimatum. Not God love me and heal me, or you don't love me. It's not that. I know that. So just shut up. So I was just sharing this with Marcia, and I was just like, it's driving me crazy. So first she prayed to settle my spirit. And then she prayed for the pain in my kidney, which stopped hurting, which was pretty freaking awesome. Then, and this is the whole reason I got up here. So then I went home and, I went for my meditation and my prayer. And I was just like, God, you know, this is what's happening. I just completely gave it to him. Just completely gave all that warfare that was going on. I just said, I cannot do it anymore. I can't. And I closed my eyes. And when I closed my eyes, I saw bushes, and in the bushes there was a snake, and the snake was very docile, and he was kind of like, come over here, and I was like, I don't know about that. And then the image changed, and there was this lion, and he was huge, gigantic, and he just looked like a great big teddy bear, and just love, I could just feel the love radiating off of him. And he was just huge. And then the image changed again, and it was the snake, only this time he was not so docile. He was more like wanting to attack me, and it made me afraid. The image changed again, and it was the lion, and he was roaring. I was not afraid of him, but I could see how you could be afraid of this lion, because he was not happy with the snake. And then the two images came together, and the lion ate the snake. And I just felt like I needed to share that with you tonight.
We still have some time. If there's anyone else that'd like to share a verse or an encouragement, but we'll have to keep it to less than maybe 4 minutes. So I'll just kind of open it up for a little bit more.
very short, 2 minutes. It's end of the year, and the sister that's really encouraging, and I feel inspired to share a personal testimony of myself about how God delivered me from unforgiveness about 2 years ago. And I feel like this is the time of the year that, as Pastor Sam was talking about, how we need to release things that we take control of in order for God to show us what he wants intend for us, that we can see his true blessings. So 2 years ago, before I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, I struggled with relationships, etc., etc. And something happened in the workplace, and when I resigned my last job, my boss went really berserk on me, and despite, I felt that all that I've done in the workplace, everything that I poured in, and with the promotions and everything, I felt like, this is really what I given. But when I resigned, and all I got from her was threat, and really nasty words about how incapable I was. So that was the first time I was so destroyed, and I cried. And I remember I cried so much at the stairways. But I didn't know that I was opening the door to the enemy, because somehow I think hate came into me. I remember I went to a sister in Christ, and I said to her, and I was like, how could she do that to me? How could she do that to me for everything that I've done for her? How could she do that to me? And after that, the scene just keep repeating in my head, and it just keep repeating and just keep attacking the mind. The battlefield of the mind is up here. So, and I just could not, I remember sitting in sermon, I just could not get away the thoughts of how I've been badly treated. And that was a day when I said to the Lord, I'm going to fast and I'm going to hear from you, and you forgive me for everything that I've done that was wrong, and I just need you to tell me and direct me and guide me. To keep the story short, and in the fourth day of my fasting, the Lord showed up, baptized me in the Holy Spirit, and delivered me. I remember sitting down and said to a missionary, why is it that I want to forgive that person, but it is so hard, it just keep coming back? And the person said, just speak it out and say you forgive the person. So I repeated a prayer, and I said, I forgive so and so. But when she said, say you love her, I could not say it. I could not say I loved her. And I broke down and I cried and I sobbed. But at the back of my mind, I knew God commanded us to love one another. So I said, and I said the final statement, I said, I love so-and-so. Because, you know, with our heart, we don't say, we don't really believe it. At that point, when God is with you, you know you don't lie. So after I said that, and the sobbing stopped immediately, and I felt the spirit just... evil spirit just left me. It was just lifted off my shoulder. It was like a few grams. It's exactly like our word is just so powerful. When we take on words, we take on things, negative stuff, we take it on. So it was literally say, weight was lifted off your shoulders. And guess what? I stopped crying. And guess what? I could not think back to the scene. I tried. I was like, I want to think what happened, but I kind of remember, but my mind would not go there. It was a supernatural deliverance. And that was the time when I realized how the enemy supernaturally, it's real, get a hold on you. When you can't, when you think negative, I believe their spiritual influence is real. So believe in that. God can deliver you from anything, everything, if you ask him, if you believe him. So ever since then, I take this very seriously. So I encourage my brother and sister, and I want to say this, as I was sitting there, I felt I wanted to come up here and tell everyone that I love you. And guess what? And then Pastor Sam gave a chance for me to come up. You know, I'm like, how can I tell everyone I love them? They'll be like, you don't know me. But guess what? I felt like that today. And I feel like coming up here and tell all of you that when I came to SP, I felt I love you. Every one of you. I don't know what it means to be, but that is as simple as that. So I want to encourage you all to pray and forgive the people in your life. If you have difficulty overcoming that, ask God to help you. Just as he told the man in the Bible, the man in the Bible said to Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. So help him to overcome. But I also, forgiveness is a decision. Let it go and God will help you. And having said that, I recently have another difficulty with a sister in Christ, and I just want to say I forgive you, and please forgive me for whatever happened and for the relationship and friendship that we have. I just hope that the enemy does not come in between. So that is my encouragement to everyone. Thank you.
Grace, you have 30 seconds because we have
to. I just want to read from a scripture. Actually, when I just kind of felt the same thing that Pastor Sam Kim and Chia felt, just that I think this year has been a really hard year for many people, and it's been my hardest year too. And so the word that I got was from Song of Solomon's, and it's chapter 2, verse 10 to 13. My lover spoke and said to me, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come with me. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The cooing of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one. Come with me." Just an invitation, I think, that there is a new season.
Okay, at this time, we're going to go into the new year. We have 2 minutes. Oh, that's wonderful, Kenny. And this is what I want to do. You know, when you plant seeds, you can do it. I mean, I don't plant seeds, but I imagine you can do it two ways. You kind of put your hand into the bag of seeds and throw it out. Or you can get on your knees and be very specific and get digging into and really plant that seed. So I want to do that symbolically. And let's just come down on our knees and just make space, get comfortable. If you need to, you know, say excuse me, say excuse me. And I want to plant these seeds literally in prayer as we're going into the new year. We have 2 minutes. And each single prayer request, each prayer that you have on your list, I want you to go through the motions in your heart and with your hands and sow them in faith into the Lord. And just go over each prayer. You know, put your hand over it. Whatever you have to do to make it real. And if you need to go to the through the motion of literally like kind of digging into the soil and planting that seed, then do that. And this is how we're going to go into the new year. We're going to plant these seeds of faith in prayer. So just come before the Lord, and this is your time. Don't let anyone take it away from you. It's your time. Just pray before the Lord, and we're going to usher in the new year on our knees in prayer. Amen? And then afterwards, we'll celebrate through worshiping. Thank you. Why don't we rise? Let's come to our feet and just join hands. And as you're joining hands, just say Happy New Year. And let's close out our service by worshiping as Samantha leads us in a song or two in worship. Give a good warmth. Extend your touch and your blessing. And let's close out by worshiping a couple songs.
Sing with me, how great is our God.
Father, we just want to thank you, God, for tonight. And God, we just want to profess in the midst of one another and in your presence, that God, that we have such faith. God, that we have such belief, God, in what you're going to do in 2010. And Lord, we're so excited to be a part of what you're doing. God, and if there's anything in us that's not in line with you, God, then we gladly and willingly, Lord, we let these things go, Father, so that we can come and walk in line with your will. God, that we can come in light of what you want to do and partner with you, Lord God, side by side, God, your spirit in us and all the things that you want to sow in us and all the things that you want to sow around us and all the people that you want to touch, communities that you want to change, the lives that you want to bring into this house to worship your name. Father God, we begin that step, that journey for this year here in this hour. And we thank you, God, that you are so worthy of praise. God, where else could we go? What else could we sing? Lord, what else could we give our hearts to? But to the mighty Savior, Prince of Peace, Lord, and we thank you so much. Lord, as we leave this place, God, let your glory go before us. God, let it shine on all men and women, Lord God, in this city and to the nations, Lord, we pray. We submit this year unto you. God, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you hug somebody next to you? We have refreshments. Please join us in the back. And don't forget, we start our fast January 2nd, Saturday, here, 7 a.m. 7 a.m. Saturday here. See you then. God bless. Have a wonderful new year.